Hello and welcome to you all. We really hope you have had an enjoyable Easter with perhaps the occasional chocolate Easter egg. Now this week's edition of the Sid Vale and East Devon Talking Newspaper, number 1814, is being read on Tuesday the 2nd of April 2024. We are at the Dissenters Hall in Sidmouth. The editor for this week is Sandra Lang, with readers Margaret Adams, Anne-Marie Irish, Jeremy Tanner and Pam Coveney. Now the clocks went forward on Saturday night, so we suggest you open your curtains at any time after 6 o'clock in the morning and close them around 6:45, a quarter to seven in the evening. And so now to the news. Part one starts with news from Sidmouth, followed by news from Tipton St John, then we go to Honiton, and we end part one with an interesting article about the River Sid, and then an article about the Sidmouth Photographic Club. So let's begin with Anne-Marie.
The Hub, in the former Jewels premises in Market Place, opens its doors on Thursday, March the 28th, offering a counter service operated by the Post Office, where customers of all major banks and building societies can carry out regular cash transactions. Business customers can use the counter services to withdraw cash, make cash and check deposits, and use other cash services, including floats and coinage. The Hub is also offering a community banker service, where a representative of each of the five main banks will be on hand on a different day of the week to talk to their customers. The days are Monday, NatWest, Tuesday, HSBC, Wednesday, Santander, Thursday, Lloyds, and Friday, Barclays. Banking hubs are operated by Cash Access UK, a not-for-profit company owned and funded by 10 major banks and building societies as part of a new collective approach to protecting access to cash. The company says digital or online solutions do not yet work for everyone all the time, and banking hubs can make a real difference to individuals, small businesses, and the communities they live in. Sidmouth's banking hub will hold an official opening ceremony performed by the East Devon MP Simon Jupp at 11 a.m. next Friday, April the 5th. Mr. Jupp said, "I am really pleased Sidmouth's banking hub is now open. I enjoyed a tour of the hub earlier this week where I met with staff from different banks who will be on hand to provide banking services our town hasn't had in years. They couldn't wait to open the doors to the public, and as a Sidmouth resident, I am looking forward to being a regular customer. Congratulations to everyone involved in the efforts to get our banking hub open. It's been a great team effort." Gareth Oakley, CEO of Cash Access UK, said, "I'm delighted to open the latest hub in Devon and look forward to the official opening. Access to cash and face-to-face banking services is very important for millions of people, and we're pleased to be helping many communities with new services on their high street." This year's Sidmouth SeaFest will take place on Saturday, May the 18th, with a Carpe Diem message of Seize the Day. The festival, organised by Sidmouth Coastal Community Hub, aims to bring people together to celebrate, value and protect the sea and coastal environment. The free family day out at the Ham will take place from 10 a.m. until 10:30 p.m. and will feature live music and entertainment, along with stalls and activities provided by local artists, craftspeople, choirs and wellbeing and environmental groups. Further details will be announced soon. Before the Free Family Festival on May the 18th, there will be the ticketed Friday night fundraiser at the Ham from 5 p.m. until 10:30 p.m., hosted by comedian Fits of Giggles, with the musician and rap poet Semantics. There will be music from the local three-piece pop and R&B band, The Naughty Steps, and the headline act will be Dr. Mika, described as one of the best live dance bands in the Southwest. Early bird tickets for the Friday night fundraiser in support of the free and inclusive SeaFest Saturday event are available now for £15 until Friday, April the 12th. Traffic on Walbrook Road in Sidmouth will soon face a temporary block for major road improvements. The popular road will be blocked from March the 29th till April the 14th, as ordered by Devon County Council. This will allow roadworks that involve crucial culvert slab replacements. It was revealed in a public notice posted on the public notice portal on March the 22nd. Drivers are to use an alternative route, including Arcot Road, A375, Sidford Road, A3052, High Street, and reverse. It is important to note the closure applies to the proportion of Walbrook Road between the junction for Walbrook Meadows and Core Hill Road. Non-compliance to the temporary prohibition is viewed as a contravention of the Road Traffic Regulation Act 1984. For more information, the public can reach out to WSP on 01392 267 546. The true value of Sidmouth Repair Cafe has been illustrated by figures for the year 2023-24, put together by one of its members. Ron Pepin has calculated that the Repair Cafe prevented 1,219 tonnes of waste, avoided 0.775 tonnes of carbon emissions, and saved consumers 8,138.39 pence. The time given by its volunteers is valued at £14,354. Sidmouth Repair Cafe is a member of the Community Action Groups Devon, CAG. A spokesperson said, "We are incredibly proud of what our CAG Devon groups are achieving. They are making a considerable impact on reducing waste in Devon and encouraging other members of their community to live more sustainably. The next Sidmouth Repair Cafe takes place on the last Saturday in April at Sidmouth Youth Centre, Manstone Lane."
Jeremy Tanner here with news from Tipton. Pupils in East Devon deserve a world-class education. Their teachers work hard to deliver just that. Facilities should be top-notch too. We can all remember the temporary classrooms built to help schools cope with growing classroom sizes. Sadly, some of these remain, and many are past their best. Last week, the Secretary of State for Education, Gillian Keegan, talked about three East Devon schools in need of investment in their buildings. Firstly, Sidmouth Primary School has some good news. Plans to build a brand new building and facilities have been given the green light to push ahead. After working alongside the school's leadership, Councillor Stuart Hughes and Education Ministers, the government has given approval and new funding to progress the much-needed redevelopment of the school's Manston Avenue site. "We are pushing for spades in the ground ASAP." Secondly, St. Peter's Primary School in Budley Salterton is being let down by temporary classrooms which are way past their best. Even before the Panorama programme, there is an overwhelming case for investment into the school with the government. I did so again with a meeting with the Secretary of State and will meet with the diocese too. I won't rest until action is taken. Thirdly, Tipton St John Primary School. The school is part of the government's school rebuilding programme because the school and its grounds are at risk of flooding. The school had to close three times last year. Children and staff had to be rescued by the fire service in May 2023, and the current site has been considered a risk to life. Devon County Council are currently undertaking assessments of the sites visited by the Department for Education and deciding how best to proceed. Village schools are part of the education process, which is why pushing for sites in Tipton St John is being considered. But ultimately, there is a need to get spades in the ground to deliver a safe new school as soon as possible. Sidmouth-based wildlife photographer Mark Taylor Hutchinson will be giving a talk next month on his adventures diving with sharks and crocodiles. Mark has travelled the world getting up close to creatures most people would keep at a safe distance. He will describe his experiences of underwater photography and display the images he's captured at Kennaway House on Friday, April the 12th at 7 p.m. Mark said the purpose of the talk is to showcase how complex and fascinating sharks are, and although much maligned predators, they perform such a vital role in the ocean. Yet they sadly face an uncertain future with a 90% depletion in numbers in the past 30 years due to the finning trade and unregulated fisheries. During his talk, he will present some of the pictures of raptors and seabirds in the UK, photographed when the COVID outbreak made it impossible to travel abroad. Mark is a former editor of an international dive magazine and has travelled the globe photographing sharks. His photos have been published in BBC Wildlife, Travel and Lifestyle magazines. Tickets for his talk are £15, which includes a glass of wine. Admission is free for under 16s. Children across East Devon are being given the chance to grow their own sunflowers this year, for free, by claiming their seeds from Otter Garden Centres. As part of the build-up to National Children's Gardening Week, Otter is encouraging all children to get growing with a free packet of Thompson & Morgan sunflower seeds. Parents, grandparents and guardians can collect the seeds from any of the seven branches, including local branches in Ottery St Mary and Jack's Patch at Bishop Stainton. Seeds can be claimed online by requesting a free e-voucher to use in-store. Each packet will contain around 15 sunflower seeds, and free advice will be provided on planting to ensure healthy, tall sunflowers. Later in the year, participants will be asked to upload photos of their tallest sunflower if they would like to enter the competition for great prizes. Claim your free seeds at www.ottergardencentres.com/free-sunflower. Sundial Care Home in Tipton St John recently welcomed Creative Minds Exmouth through their doors to host an afternoon full of creativity. The creative sessions are being brought in as a way of enhancing the well-being of residents, going beyond routine care to provide avenues for self-expression, social interaction, and a sense of accomplishment. The finished art piece is a symbol of unity within their community, taking pride of place on show already. Catherine, Creative Minds Exmouth, said, "It was a buzzing dining room full of artists, each one so colourful and individual. Well done to everyone. I love that the maintenance man happened to be right there to give permission to get the artworks stuck up straight away, making a beautiful community art piece in the lounge." Catherine will continue to run these art sessions at other care homes locally, Find out more at www.facebook.com/cmexmouth and www.sundalcare.com.
Hi, it's Pam here with first of all some news from the Donkey Sanctuary. The Donkey Sanctuary's new spring trail gives visitors the chance to win an Easter egg. Visitors can explore and discover some of the wildlife that lives in and around the sanctuary with Drizzle's Green Guardians Easter Trail. By following clues on their trail sheet, people will be able keeping an eye out for animals and plants that thrive around the sanctuary. The sanctuary is home to thousands of insects, animals and plants, and adoption donkey Drizzle and her friends lend a helping hand to boost the biodiversity on the land by grazing meadows and spreading seeds around on their coats. Trail sheets cost £5 each, and people can choose an Easter egg or rosette on completion. On Wednesday, May the 1st, visitors can meet gardening supremo Anne Swithingbank, East Devon resident and renowned horticulturalist. Anne has been a regular panellist on BBC Radio 4's Gardener's Question Time, and visitors will have the opportunity to ask Anne all their gardening questions. The Grizzly Weekend started with the Grizzfest, and Sidmouth Running Club juniors were able to enjoy it, writes Alex Sabarka. John Dunsford and Christopher Wikowski took part and successfully completed the 4K Junior Grizzly. John finished in 19 minutes 43 seconds and Christopher in 21 36 seconds. Emily Smith, Marcus Weifer and Amelia Walmersley successfully ran the 2K Junior Cub, finishing at 10.8 minutes, 10.17 minutes, and 13.57 minutes, respectively, with Emily finishing 34th in a field of 103. They all got to experience running on the pebbles and, despite the rain, finished with smiles on their faces. Thank you to junior leaders Donna and Graham Walmersley Westlake and all the parents for their support in this event, which is open up to 400 entrants. SRC's X to Axe Fun Run is fast approaching on Saturday, April 6th, and is open to age 16 and under. The event starts at 9:30 a.m. from Muttersmore and finishes by the Ham, and includes optional beach activities and water slide provided by Tony Sarsby of Sidmouth Fit. For more information, contact juniors at sidmouthrunningclub.co.uk. Sunday dawned a completely different day, which surprised many of the 41 Mighty Greens who listened to the heavy rain during the night. For Cub first timer Sarah Clapham, her night was disturbed by dreaming she turned up at the start line without her leggings. There were many first timers in the SRC contingent, and as they were lined up at the start line and heard the announcer say the course was treacherous, they might have had a moment of doubt of what was to come. But they knew they had trained well with the club's Sunday runs in very adverse weather conditions. They were the Mighty Greens. Bring it on. Bridget McElhenney Smith had taken injured chairman Terry Bew's cub number, and it seemed like she had taken on his persona too. She was very encouraging going up the hills, using Terry's mantra, fairy steps, head up, chest out. She was looping back and fell on her way into Branscombe. Bridget said no sooner had she hit the floor, two very kind men scooped her up to her feet as if she were as light as a feather. Mighty Green Colin Lanson was the first of the 16 SRC Cub runners to cross the finish line at 1 hour 41 minutes 14 seconds, 57th out of a field of 635. And Christine and Karen Farnham were the first MG ladies to finish in 2 hours 2 minutes and 40 seconds, with fully clothed Sarah Clapham not far behind. The support along the way from friends, family, Mighty Greens, especially injured Richard King at Branscombe, marshals, fellow runners and total strangers goes a long way to boosting morale, as do the bagpipe players, the drummers, the sax players and musicians, often in the middle of nowhere. A special mention goes to the staff and residents of the nursing home on the way out of Seaton, who lined the streets with their banners and instruments. All make the event very special and memorable. It was Helen Palmer's 15th Grizzly, and she found this one the muddiest by far. In fact, the muddy sections of the course weren't much muddier than the rest of the route, although there were definite rivers of mud to plough through and the rope section was very challenging and comical. Helen ran mostly by herself and was amply entertained listening to other runners and seeing club members at various points along the way. All this mud did not stop Richard Summerhayes from having a great run. He was the first Mighty Green to finish the Grizzly in an amazing 3 hours, 18 minutes and 33 seconds, with SRC's Jake Rowarth not far behind, finishing in 3 hours, 39 minutes and 3 seconds. Running the Grizzly for the first time, Louise Dalton said the distance was fine, the pace was fine, the sun was shining, but the terrain was tough. Despite finding it hard on her feet, ankles and hips, Louise was the first MG female over the finish line in 4 hours, 33 minutes and 53 seconds, with her fellow SRC runners, including first-timers Amanda Stokes and Becky Knappman, not far behind. Becky loved it. And although she found it incredibly challenging, the Sunday runs were great preparation, and she enjoyed running in the team too, including Mark Norton and Yasmin Salter. Social Secretary Naomi Garrick really enjoyed completing her third run for the International Animal Rescue dressed as a Dalmatian. The spotty Mighty Green loves to run in fancy dress and make people smile. Mighty Green Linda Hawkins was joined by her family, including her son Jake, who celebrated his birthday by running his first Grizzly, one to remember. Running the Grizzly for the first time, Cameron Baker, Megan Pusey and Nikita Kay had the benefit of head coach Kyle Baker's experience, as he had run it once before. East Devon District Council have announced a 400k district-wide revamp of play parks in Budley, Beer, Exmouth and Honiton. New installations will include new swings, climbing frames, slides and much more, with seaside themes and facilities suitable for toddlers and juniors. Designs have been created to provide most play value and also to reduce environmental impact through the use of recycled materials. Work has already started on the play parks at Lime Kiln, Budley, Jubilee, Beer, Ashfield Close, Exmouth and Gerard Close, Honiton. The play park at Palegate Close in Honiton will commence this month The aim is for all play parks to be completed well before the summer. Find out more at www.eastdevon.gov.uk.
Hello, it's Margaret here, and first of all, we have an article about the River Sid. The River Sid flows through the heart of the Sid Valley. From its source, overlooking Sidbury, through confluences with its tributaries, diversions into human-made channels over weirs and under bridges. It is a silver thread, stitching valley sides together, seaming great goyles through thick and vibrant woodlands, before meandering through a patchwork of agricultural and urban landscapes. It meets the sea at Sidmouth, often flowing through a steep shingle bank, brought in by the tide. It is rich in wildlife with species such as dippers, kingfishers, otters and bats, calling it home or relying on it for sustenance and habitat. But sadly, all isn't quite as it seems. According to the 2024 State of Our Rivers report by the Rivers Trust, no single stretch of river in England or Northern Ireland is in good overall health. Although this sad reality is true of the Sid in some ways, the river's ecological health is actually classed as moderate by the Environment Agency. So not as bad as some, but with definite room for improvement. There have been several initiatives over the years which have contributed to maintaining the river's health. From a group of fish fanatics who would physically catch and transport migratory fish from beneath school weir, that's the large weir at the lower end of the Byes, to above it, so that they could continue on to spawn. To the very current and active group, Friends of the Byes, who put their hearts and souls into creating beautiful habitat and recreation areas in the Byes. We have been spoilt by committed volunteers who have been and are working towards the same goal of improving the Sid. You only have to spend some time in the community orchard in the Byes or take a walk along the newly regenerated riverside walk to see that many people in the Sid Valley care about their river. But is it enough to conserve what we have left and restore what we have lost? To continue the good work, local volunteers have come together to create a new group, the River Sid Catchment Group. As well as conserving and protecting the river itself, the catchment element will work towards slowing the overall flow of water from the land to the sea, and it takes a wider view of the valley's landscapes and biodiversity, including soil health and water quality. Although the working group is small, they will be shouting out for help from volunteers very soon. From monitoring the tiny invertebrates which live on the riverbed to helping remove invasive species, there will be more opportunities as the project progresses for volunteers to help achieve a healthier river catchment. As well as citizen science projects and awareness raising, the group have been working hard to pull together organisations on a larger scale to address some of the more complex conversations around the Sid, hoping to promote real change or for the good of the Sid, its wildlife, landscapes and the humans who know it and love it. You can find the River Sid Catchment Group on Facebook, and during the June Biodiversity Festival, where they will be consulting with the community on a draft catchment plan, reaching out for local knowledge and volunteers. Now we have Sidmouth Photographic Club by Joanne Hawes. A good photography club is about so much more than competitions, although they play an important part. Sidmouth Photographic Club's programme of events also includes regular practical and critique sessions, trips, workshops, and visiting speakers. Talks given throughout the club's current season by guest photographers have covered diverse topics, projects and techniques. Back in September, the SPC was treated to an enjoyable evening of nature / wildlife photography when joined by guest speaker and photographer Kirsty Peak for her presentation entitled Yellowstone, the world's first national park. Kirsty, an animal behaviouralist, dedicated much of her time to researching wolf behaviour between 1999 and 2020, and for many years shared her time between the US park and her Devon home. The speaker for November was Marco Dutka, who had visited the club several times as a competition judge. Marco's presentation, entitled At the Going Down of the Sun, was inspired by lines from the famous 1914 poem and featured images of war graves taken between dusk and dawn. The collection has previously exhibited in the Bristol Cathedral and was a fitting topic so close to Remembrance Day. During January, the SPC were invited to join two online sessions hosted by Exmouth Photo Group. The first event was on the topic of ICM by presenter Gordon Asplund, also a well-known local competition judge. ICM, which stands for International Camera Movement, is a simple, no-rules creative effect that transforms ordinary scenes into abstract work of art by making deliberate movements during the image exposure. The second session, Visual Jukebox, was presented by photographer Mike Bennett from Lincolnshire. Mike's interests include street photography, documentary, sport, nature and portrait. Both online presentations were enjoyable and inspirational. The most recent guest speaker to join the Sidmouth Club was Dorchester-based Malcolm McNaughton with his talk A Land of Mountains and Floods, recounting his photographic journey and experiences during monochrome prints, predominantly of the Scottish landscape, using traditional developing and printing darkroom techniques. This month's showcase from SPC are images from two of the club's recent internal competitions, which were judged by Bruce Robinson from Plimstock Camera Club, competition 3 January, and Norman Marsh of Dorchester Camera Club, competition 4 February.
Now, here are some local activities which are happening in East Devon over the next week and which you may want to put in your calendar. We're going to start with Burrow Farm Gardens, Dalwood, in Axminster. These gardens are open from the 1st of April to the 31st of October and are one of East Devon's secret places. These gardens cover 13 acres and provide colour all year round, a variety of planting styles and techniques, and there is a unique grasses garden created to celebrate 50 years of gardening on the farm. The Wild Flower Meadow is one of the newest additions and is still evolving with over 250 wild orchids. And when you're there, look for the Shy Maiden, a statue in a garden of roses originally built in 1985. Now, on the 4th of April, if you have treasures that you wish to sell, Bearns, Hampton and Littlewood will give you a free antiques valuation from 2 until 4 p.m. at Kennaway House in Sidmouth. Also on the 4th of April, the Gateway Theatre in Seaton has a National Theatre London live screening of the play The Motive and the Cue. Sam Mendes directs it. He directs Mark Gottis as John Gielgud and Johnny Flynn as Richard Burton in this fierce and funny new play. The screening starts at 7 p.m. Tickets are £15 for adults and £8 for 16-year-olds and under. For more information, phone 01297 625-699. Now on Friday, April the 5th, there is a walk with the Aspie Walking Group for people with autism who meet at the Triangle in Sidmouth at 11 o'clock in the morning. The walk lasts approximately 2 hours. For more information, please contact Kevin Hickson on 07813 318 357. On Saturday, April the 6th, the Young at Heart Ladies Social Group meet at the Woodlands Hotel in Sidmouth between 10:30 and 12:30 in the morning. This is an informal group of ladies over 55, hosted by Sid Valley Help. Come and share coffee, chat and have fun. It is held on the first Saturday of each month, apart from August, when the Folk Festival is in town. Now, if you feel like a really riotous time, go to Torquay on the 6th to the 7th of April, where you can enjoy a Fawlty Towers weekend. You can spend your time with Basil, Sybil, Manuel. What could possibly go wrong? This takes place from 2 p.m. in the Grand Hotel, Torbay Road, Torquay, and costs £295 for two people. For more information, telephone 01772 691284. And finally, on the 12th of April, the docudrama A Night to Remember about the sinking of the Titanic will be shown in Sidmouth on, yes, April the 12th, which is the 112th anniversary of the disaster. The Titanic had its fateful collision with an iceberg in the North Atlantic at 11:40 p.m. on April the 12th, 1912. The film, starring stalwarts of British cinema such as Kenneth Moore and Honor Blackman, sticks as accurately as possible to the true story of what happened that night. The screening is at the Radway Cinema, has been organised by Sidmouth Film Society. Jennifer Jennings Wright from the Society said, "This is an incredible film. It was released in 1958. At a time when many of the survivors of the sinking were very much still alive. The filmmakers were aware of this and were intent on doing faithful service to those survivors by sticking to the facts of the story and pulling few punches in the depiction of the tragedy. This is definitely the Titanic film you have to see." The screening will start at 7 p.m. on the 12th. Tickets are £5 and £6 and include a short discussion about the film afterwards, during which complimentary tea and coffee will be served. There will be a collection in the cinema's foyer in support of Sidmouth Lifeboat, the town's maritime independent emergency service, which is not part of the RNLI and is completely dependent on donations. Part 2 begins with news from Ottery St Mary, followed by more Sidmouth news, and then we go to Beer and Branscombe. And finally, an item from East Devon and an item by Paul Arnott, the leader of the East Devon District Council. This item will be very familiar to you. So let's begin with news from Ottery St Mary.
Old age, old dogs, inequality, homesickness, sunless seas plus love and death and war and glorious mud. It was all there in the library, that cultural centrepiece of Ottery St Mary, an evening of almost spring. A quartet of polished performers, led by the Colin Firth lookalike, Ian Pearce, presented all of this in a series of pre-loved poetry and songs. His team consisted of Steve Crump, Tim Knight and Patrick Romer, late of the RSC and National Theatre, and whose voice you will have heard on Roger McGough's Radio 4 Poetry Please. It was a lovely informal ragbag event. It started with Ian reading Betjeman's A Subaltern's Love Song, reminding us of that famous sexy furnished and burnished tennis player, Joan Hunter Dunn, and her warm-handled racket. Remembered Love continued, with Pat performing Shakespeare's Sonnet 29, When in Disgrace with Fortune and Men's Eyes. Steve continued in reminiscence and regret with an original piece about the invisibility of old age. Stranger, when you looked at me. But Tim perked us up with Walking My 75-Year-Old Dog by Billy Collins, one-time American Poet Laureate. And Pat launched into ambiguity with Walter de la Mare's The Listeners, reminding the audience that poetry gives you question marks. Another old dog featured in Piddling Pete, remarkably memorised by Pat, followed by Blake's Little Lamb and his tiger Burning Bright. Two not cute children appeared. Hilaire Belloc's Matilda cries wolf and expires in a fire. And the petulant Augustus refused to eat his soup, and you know what happened to him. Tim manoeuvred his way around the tongue-twisting Jabberwocky. 'Twas brillig. And then we went to war. Steve read Bob Dylan's Masters of War, always relevant, and Ian accompanied himself on guitar singing The Heartbreaking, and the band played Waltzing Matilda, written by the Scottish-Australian Eric Bogle about Gallipoli. The ragbag culminated in Steve's reading of Flanders and Swann's wonderful hippopotamus song, which included the Cole Porter-worthy rhyme, Enamorata and Garter. Everyone joined in to sing the glorious mud chorus, of course. It was glorious. In Betjeman's poem, the air was heavy with bells, as was Ottery St Mary. All evening, the parish church bell ringers practiced their art, which you could hear in the distance between the acts. The event was introduced by the library supervisor, Kerry Carr, and sponsored by the Friends of the Library. The lineup has been announced for the second summer festival at Cold Harbour Farm in Ottery St Mary, the solstice sessions in June. The three-day boutique festival takes place from Friday, June the 21st, until Sunday the 23rd, with camping included in a weekend ticket. The site offers breathtaking views over the East Devon countryside. There will be more than 25 performances over the weekend, including reggae, rock, Americana and bluegrass and community choirs. Friday is Local Bands Day. Saturday will celebrate roots and country music, while Sunday has been designated as a day for chilling out. Headline acts are Revolution Roots, a collective of talented reggae musicians from across the Southwest, on Friday. The Sarah Yeo Band with Sounds of Country and Folk on Saturday, and the Adam Sweet Band, who will be entertaining the crowds with rootsy rock and blues on Sunday. All performances will take place on a purpose-built stage inside a beautiful stretch tent. Co-owner Andrea Broadhurst said, "We had such a fantastic time putting on our first Summer Sessions Festival last year that we decided to do it all again. There's a lot to be said for going to a smaller independent festival like this, where everyone is just there to have a great time and enjoy fantastic music. On-site catering will be provided by Cold Harbour Field Kitchen," co-owner Beth Ashfield said. "We'll be cooking everything to order. Our ethos is to offer excellent food based on local produce. So there will be fresh pizzas, tempting dishes cooked using our wood-fired oven and barbecue grill, and loads of other food choices to suit a wide range of appetites. No one will go hungry. The Field Kitchen also offers a wide choice of drinks, including West Country ciders, local ales and artisan spirits, including Cold Harbour's own Flaming Barrel Gin. The festival is limited to just 400 tickets, with the aim of creating an intimate, friendly atmosphere. Weekend tickets include free camping and sites for live-in vehicles, with day tickets also available. The solstice sessions run from 4 p.m. on June the 21st till 8 p.m. on June the 23rd. Weekend tickets are £100 and day tickets start from £30, but there are currently discounted early bird prices for anyone buying before April the 30th. For full information on the music acts and ticket sales, visit Cold Harbour Farm Shop .co.uk/solstices/sessions/. A group of 20 Ottery community volunteers braved horrible weather to clean litter from the streets last Saturday. After meeting at the Ottery larder, they ventured out, armed with litter pickers, bin bags and scrubbing brushes, and managed to fill a dozen black bags with rubbish. Broken bottles, cigarette ends, all sorts of plastic waste, and even a broken bicycle were among the items that were taken back to the larder to be sorted into recycling and refuse. Ottery larder supervisor Justin Meager said, "It is really disappointing to see how much gets dumped on our streets. We are determined to make sure that we recycle whatever we can." Volunteer Ria Cousins said, "We braved horrible wind and rain, but the right clothing and the right attitude made it a fun morning for all of us. We will be planning another litter pick in the summer, and maybe this will be the first one we do when it doesn't rain." Eager Beavers run litter picks in Tipton St John, and the Station Youth Club will be running a community pick in a few weeks' time. There will be a treat for Ottery puzzle fans at Ottery St Mary Church on Saturday, April the 6th. A jigsaw morning is taking place from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. with puzzles suitable for all ages. Visitors can take part in a timed challenge to put the pieces together, working individually or in pairs or groups. For the non-competitive, there will be plenty of jigsaws to solve at leisure over tea and cakes. The event is free, but donations are invited for the Connect, Enhance, Engage project to rewire the church and improve its lighting and audio-visual system. This is the first of a series of fundraising events this year. There will be a concert by Exeter Cathedral Choir in May and a medieval music concert in June featuring hurdy-gurdy player Marco Canavo playing music from the 13th and 14th centuries. There will also be cream teas and church tours, with the dates to be announced soon. A new public access defibrillator is now installed and ready for use at Ottery St Mary Fire Station. The defibrillator is kept in a locked unit attached to the front wall of the fire station, which is immediately visible when entering the station car park. The box is illuminated 24/7 to assist with locating it even at night. Defibrillators have the capacity to save lives in case of a cardiac arrest. If required, it is available to access both day or night and can be found at the station in Canaan Way, opposite Coleridge Medical Centre. A spokesman for Ottery Fire Station said, "We would like to thank those who donated and aided in our fundraising for this life-saving piece of equipment. We will be installing a commemorative plaque to recognise those who donated, both individuals and businesses, as well as those involved in the charity event."
Hi, Jeremy again with some interesting news from Sidmouth. Does anyone feel like spring has arrived yet? Like most of us, I'm hoping for some sunshine soon, writes Charlotte Westlake. We're looking forward to some drier weather so we can enjoy the evening sun out and about with young people. A favourite activity when the sun is shining are the Zorbs. They are a huge hit with the young people, and the staff like to have a go too. It's been another busy month here at Sidmouth Youth Centre. We have welcomed Theo to our team. Theo will mainly be working with the young people on Friday evening. We look forward to Theo getting to know the juniors some more. They have all been great in making him feel comfortable and welcome already. The skills group have been getting on really well using our new 3D printers. We were able to purchase some 3D printers after we were fortunate to be successful in our application for locality budget funding, kindly supported by Devon County Council, Councillor Stuart Hughes. The 3D printers will allow our young people to design and print 3D models using computer-aided design software. We can draw out designs for almost anything the imagination can bring together. The 3D printers will then melt plastic filament and layer up the plastic onto a hot plate, which will create anything we tell it to. We started making name tags as a starter project for our young people, which they all enjoyed. Our 3D printers also have a laser attachment which will allow us to dive into laser cutting and designing products that way too. We are seeing great numbers in all our sessions at the moment, which is amazing. Just a little reminder that young people need book into our skills sessions as we have limited space. For more information on this, please get in touch by email or pop into the centre to see us. You can always look on our Facebook page to see what we have going on and when. Chris and the team have put out information around our Easter holiday sessions on our social media Facebook page, so have a look to see if you know someone who is interested in coming along. As always, we are looking for volunteers to come and join us in sessions. If this is something that interests you, then please get in touch by emailing me at charlottewestlake@youngdevon.org. This could be a one-off session or something more regular. I hope everyone has a great Easter and that plenty of chocolate is consumed. Sidmouth Musical Theatre is 102 years old and going extremely strong, writes Maria McCarthy. Their 2023 production of My Fair Lady gained 3 nominations from the National Operatic Drama Association, and their present production, 9 to 5, the musical, will be at Sidmouth Manor Pavilion Theatre between Monday, April 1st and Saturday, April 6th. There are 30 cast members supported by 14 backstage staff. Sandria Stewart, chairman of Sidmouth Musical Theatre, said, "We have auditions in November, start rehearsing in December, and the show is performed at Easter. Initially, rehearsals take place twice a week, and after 6 weeks, Sundays are added as well. It's a big commitment, but such fun and very rewarding. We're a friendly and welcoming society and keen to attract new members, especially those who can help backstage. Our 2025 production will be Oklahoma. We're holding a workshop in October. Stage manager Eddie Simmons works at the Donkey Sanctuary. He said backstage work involves coordinating lighting, props, scene changes, and so much more. We're keen for helpers both during the rehearsal period and also ones who can help out during the run of the show. Wardrobe mistress Juliet Squire runs the sewing room in Ottery and has been hard at work sourcing 1980s costumes and accessories. She said Sidmouth Musical Theatre has a wardrobe of its own, and cast members often have suitable items of their own they can wear. At a Sunday afternoon rehearsal held at St. Peter's Sidford Church Hall, director Isabel Court puts the cast through their paces, rehearsing a mixture of ensemble songs and dance numbers and smaller scenes. Isabel said, "I'm really enjoying directing 9 to 5, the musical, which is an uplifting, colourful and vibrant show." Pip Hill, a midwife, plays Violet, one of the three female central characters. Pip said, "At Sidmouth Musical Theatre, we work hard, have fun, and the cast becomes like a family where we can all support each other." Philip Ward, who plays dominating, egotistical boss Franklin Hart, said, "9 to 5 has got fantastic music, a brilliant story, and is very funny. The Manor Pavilion is such a beautiful theatre, and we're all looking forward to performing there. For more information about Sidmouth Musical Theatre, check out their website at www.sidmouthmusicaltheatre.co.uk or contact Jenny Talia 4 at noel.com. For tickets for 9 to 5, the musical, contact the Manor Pavilion Theatre on 01395 514 413. Here's a bit of Sidmouth history. Built in 1812 in Mill Street, Counter's Court was situated close to the workhouse. Its walls are probably cob overlaid with stone and stucco. It was the first charitable school in the town and named Sidmouth or Parochial School. The two gabled stone porch entrances still have boys and girls inscriptions above each, although they are very faded. The master's house adjoined it and its name has remained. According to Butcher's Guide, it was for the education of the infant poor in the principles of the established church, but more specifically those of Andrew Bell, 1753 to 1832, an Anglican priest. His monitorial system required the schoolmaster to teach the older or brighter pupils basic lessons, such as the alphabet and simple sums. Each of them, so-called pupil-teachers, would then pass the information to the younger and less bright children. In 1819, there were over 90 pupils, and as there was a single teacher, it was clearly necessary to attempt this method. In Victorian times, it lost favour as more teachers were trained. Additionally, the school was opposed to corporal punishment and used a system of rewards. The school continued until the early 20th century, when it became the parish hall owned by Sidmouth Educational Trust and run by Sidmouth Consolidated Charities. World War II was responsible for its rebirth as a major landmark. The influx of evacuees, mainly from London, could not be managed by the four schools, Manston, Woolbrook, St Nicholas and All Saints. The parish hall became a school again with a classroom. The shortage of teachers meant the introduction of double shifts in all the schools, non-academic mornings and academic afternoons. It was also used for evening talks, and in 1941, the well-known actress Phyllis Nielsen Terry gave a presentation organised by the WVS about the role of women in the home front and advised care in shopping. She said, "Don't buy anything until the last moment, and then you will find the things off the market." With respect to rationing, she commented, "A strong nation is a well-nourished one. Lord Woolton, Minister of Food, must be the envy of the Harley Street specialists. If you're too fat, he will put you right. If you are too thin, eat more potatoes." Gerald Counter, 1927 to 2013, was raised in the master's house as his parents were caretakers of the hall. British soldiers hired it for evening dances, but from 1943 it was especially popular with American troops from Dunkerswell, who had more money and brought more food and drink. Disciplinary control of the GIs, if any, came from their base, not the Sidmouth police. The banter between the two groups is reflected in the well-known phrase, "overpaid, oversexed, and over here," to which the GIs called the British underpaid, undersexed, and under Eisenhower. Gerald was a well-known local figure, and appropriately his name was used when the hall was converted into private flats. That's interesting.
Hi, it's Pam again. A cheque for £2,000 has been presented to Honiton 729 Club by Sidbury Women's Institute. The Honiton 729 Club is an independent voluntary charity which provides friendly social events for adults with a learning disability. A spokesman for Sidbury WI said, "We raised these funds for Honiton 729 Club in memory of a much-loved resident of Sidbury, who we sadly lost. They went to Honiton 729 Club regularly, and it gave them independence, friendship, and a lot of joy. We have raised this money throughout the year, with most being raised at our pancake coffee morning in February. The cheque was presented to Sue from the Honiton 729 Club at Sidbury WI's Hot Cross Bun Coffee Morning on Saturday, March 23rd.
Hello, it's Margaret again here, and I'm reading A Personal View from East Devon District Council leader Paul Arnott. For the last few days, it has been impossible for any of us glimpsing a newspaper, television, or computer screen not to have seen at least one image and probably a video of Catherine, Princess of Wales, disclosing that she has cancer. With figures suggesting that as we lead longer lives, one in two or three of us will have a similar diagnosis, this brings it close to all our homes. I had a leukemia diagnosis nearly 13 years ago and remember as if it was yesterday that my main worry was not for myself, but for the effect on my family. Catherine made that point movingly. She was simply unable to issue a stark bulletin at the point of diagnosis because her primary duty as a parent was to comfort and reassure her three children. All cancer experiences are unique. In my case, I had no symptoms at all until I mentioned to our GP when taking our child into the surgery that I'd sustained a bruised big toe, after a glumping footballer stood on it at my weekly five-a-side. And after 6 weeks, it was still black and blue. I thought nothing of it when he suggested a blood test, and even, somewhat dimly, nothing more when asked to come into the RD&E at 8 a.m. the next morning for the big news. The most challenging moment for me, at least, of the entire 2 years that ensued was our four children. Returned from school that next afternoon, and we sat as a family of six and discussed it. They were all wonderful, supportive, even good-humoured. But to me, I just loaded them up, and especially my amazing wife, with an awful burden. All I had to do was to get treated, and thus had a lot of control over what was happening hour by hour. But for them, they might lose their dad or their husband about 40 years early if it didn't go well. Because of those experiences, I wish to express my sincere admiration for the way Catherine has dealt with her own diagnosis. It can be too easy to berate the press, especially the tabloid end, but this needs to be said. Yet again, the proprietors have allowed editors to be wildly inaccurate, intrusive, unkind, tasteless, and inflammatory. Where the role of the editor is to guard journalistic standards, in this case, they have knowingly republished harebrained conspiracy nonsense from the outer reaches of social media. Then to crown it all off, those same papers and some broadcast sources have had their cake and are now eating it. "Leave Kate alone," they cry after months of doing the precise opposite. They have taken a family crisis and made from it an exemplar of purest hypocrisy. By utter contrast, Catherine set herself down on a bench, spoke straight to the camera, and explained what had happened. In many ways, she had been bullied into this, but clearly she and William had given it immense thought. It was as truthful as it could be. Now, instead of torrid speculation on radio phone-ins, the lines have been alive with people telling similar stories, especially and most movingly about the effect on closest loved ones. Of course, the world will keep spinning and the media proprietors will never change their spots. But in a country with a monarchy and not a republic, where a President Johnson might have ended up as head of state, Kate and Will have yet again proved how superbly they cope with their unenviable roles.
That brings us to the end of the news we have for this edition. My thanks go to all our readers, Margaret, Anne-Marie, Pam and Jeremy, and to our registrars, Jackie Godbeer and Zena Johnson, and to our producer, Hilary Bryars. Thanks also to Archant Publications for use of their copy from their publications. We would be grateful if you could return your wallet promptly, and should you have any problems with the equipment, please contact Peter Eagles on 07552 766 382. Our team looks forward to reading for you again on Tuesday the 21st of May. So until then, We send you our warmest wishes. Goodbye. Bye.